Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the 2 Peter reading, 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 8 to 15. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, let us recognize that your patience is an opportunity for repentance, for turning back to you in trust. Fill us by your word with your Holy Spirit, so that as your repentant people, we live with joy. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Second Peter is one of the more unusual books of the New Testament. In the early church, not every congregation received every book which we now have in our New Testaments. Books like 2 Peter, also Hebrews, Revelation, 2 and 3 John, these were disputed over in the early church. After time, all Christian churches recognised that these books are the Word of God. They are received as such and proclaimed as such today. But we also recognise that when there are difficult things in these books, we go back to the more central books of our canon, our central books of the Bible, to understand. So today in our reading, there may be things which are difficult to understand. We'd go back to books like Romans or the Gospels to understand the difficult things in this book. So I just say that up front. There are some difficult things here, but when we read the Bible together, we grow in understanding. Now, to understand today's section from the lectionary, it's good to go back and look at the context. 2 Peter chapter 3, I'll read verses 3 to 4. First of all, you must understand this, that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and indulging their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since our ancestors died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." The world just keeps on going on. There's this promise of the coming of the Lord, but it seems rather unlikely. As we look back in history, the world goes its merry way. So this promise of the Lord's coming seems unlikely at best. In fact, it says here these questions are asked in a scoffing way. Surely you would have to be naive, a bit of a simpleton, to believe in the coming of the Lord. Now, I think it's very easy for us to feel the force of these questions. We can hear them put to us from without, maybe from family members or friends. But we can also feel the force within. There's a lot of pressure in our world to conform to the standards of the world. Why should we be gentle or kind? Why should we be generous or self-controlled or sexually pure when our world can move us in such a different direction? Also, if we simply give up on the Christian life, will the sky fall in? Will the world change? If we simply reject God and the promise of the advent of the Lord in glory, will anything, in fact, change? Well, today we receive words from the Apostle to give us courage and hope when we are tempted by these questions and when we feel the full force of them. The Apostle gives us teaching to move us from despair back into hope, to focus our attention onto the Lord Jesus Christ, revealing to us the righteousness of God, the fact that in Christ there is forgiveness, that in his resurrection there is a sign for us of where our world is going, that in Christ we see that there is patience and opportunity for repentance. The first thing the Apostle encourages us to consider is creation from God's point of view. Here's what we heard at the beginning of today's reading. "But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day." We can be trapped in our small world and think that our version of time is all there is. But the Apostle encourages us to see things in a broader way, indeed from God's point of view. I think there can be some help here, thinking about things philosophically. A Christian thinker from the late era of antiquity, the beginning of the Middle Ages, a fellow called Boethius, wrote a book called The Consolation of Philosophy. And he dealt with that sort of question in this book, thinking about what time must be from God's point of view. He pictures God looking on at everything together in one, like we look on at this building of the church and see it as one vision. God must look on time something like this. Other thinkers have pondered also the mystery of time. If you know the philosopher Immanuel Kant, deals with this in a most engaging way. Or even think about Einstein and the theory of relativity. Some of you may know about this. I read it from a layman's point of view. But time is a mysterious thing. I think as Christian people we do well, if we're able, to consider what time is like and to consider time also from God's point of view. The apostle encourages us to do so today, to use our minds to think in this way, especially when the world just seems to keep on going on and on. What is time? What is our place in it? How does God seem time? Of course, St. Peter is not asking us to think about time purely from a philosophical point of view. He is engaging us pastorally and wants us to think about the pastoral implications of time from God's point of view. And he draws this conclusion. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. What seems like slowness from our point of view is patience from God's point of view. God does not want any to perish, but all to turn back to him and to come to life. So when we think about this world, which seems to just keep on going, we do well to think about what time actually is and to consider our lives now as opportunities to turn back to God in trust. And even for those who mock God and mock the teaching of the Lord's return, also to turn to God in faith. This teaching, of course, does not mean that God's judgment is eternally delayed. The apostle goes on to give us these words, which really constitute a warning to us. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. From these words, we could think that God is simply going to get rid of the heavens and the earth. But from books like Romans, we know, in fact, that there is a renewal of creation. And a picture you could use here to understand, perhaps, is that of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes into the grave and he dies. But there is a continuity between his death and his resurrection. The body is changed, yet continuous. This is how it will also be for us when our bodies dissolve in death. They'll be raised into new life, where there will be changed but continuity. And I think this is one way to take these words, a good way to take them. Not simply the getting rid of everything there is, but a renewal and a continuity, a resurrection, if you like. But the pastoral image here that St. Peter deals with is that through this dissolving fire, everything will be revealed. Think about thick bushland. And a bushfire goes through, and suddenly everything that may be hidden is revealed. If a car had been dumped in the bush, the fire goes through, the body of the car remains. We see what was hidden. When God's judgment comes, then we see what has been hidden. It seems to me, and this is my opinion, you can take or leave it, that a lot of what we see in the news has the aspect of God's judgment to it. Think about scandals that have happened in the church and cover-ups, which are then revealed. This, to my mind, has a picture of a fire which burns and reveals. Or think also of what happens in our wider world things like sexual harassment, this sort of stuff. It seems hidden, but then it comes out. People can live for decades thinking their secrets will not be revealed, but the time of reckoning comes. These things, to my mind, are a clue of what will happen with each one of us, with God. There will be a time of judgment, a cleansing fire, when what we have thought, said and done will be revealed to God. Now this is a threatening image because none of us can stand before God on our own innocence. We are all guilty and deserve the just judgment of God. But St. Peter gets us to put our hope not in our own righteousness, but in God, his patience, and what he has done for us in Christ. In fact, St. Peter gives us an invitation of how to live as Christian people. He says these words, "Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements melt with fire. But in accordance with his promise, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. A day of judgment is coming, and we do well to prepare for this. And we do well to prepare for this in how we live our lives now, living hopefully and not in despair. Living lives marked by things like gentleness with each other, patience, self-control, having a transparency in our dealings, not thinking that what we do will always be hidden, but understanding that it will be revealed. Therefore, it seems to me also, confessing our sins and receiving forgiveness. This is a great way to deal with the coming of the Lord, simply to acknowledge our guilt and to receive the forgiveness that God freely gives in Christ Jesus. If you're on your way to court and you know the verdict will be guilty, you'll make terms as quickly as possible. We can do this also with God, seeking forgiveness in Christ Jesus, where we have this gift freely given to us, where we indeed can wait for a new creation where righteousness is at home. We know things like gentleness and kindness and generosity, self-control, are not always at home in this world. But God draws us in Christ to his world where righteousness is at home. Finally, the apostle draws this conclusion. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found with him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. We can't change how others live, but we can strive in our own lives to live at peace with each other, to share the peace which God gives us in Christ Jesus with each other. We can order our lives well by receiving the forgiveness of Christ and by understanding that we have hope, a home given to us by God. And we can understand that God's patience is an opportunity for repentance. This whole section of Scripture is a response to mocking questions, which actually have a lot of force in this world. And it seems to me if we listen to those questions and let them have their force, we can also then be brought to God's word and to find our hope there. It's true that our senses tell us that this world just keeps on going. But God invites us through his word to see things from his point of view, to see what seems to be delay as patience and an opportunity to turn back to God in faith. An opportunity for us in this season of repentance, but also an opportunity for our world. So let's take this opportunity as God's people, put our focus on Christ, and see in him the true righteousness of God where our help is. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.